And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to the Lee Elsie Show. I am Adam Spercacci, former New London City Councilor, filling in for Lee for the rest of the day. I want to thank you for joining us on this New Year's Eve. As I mentioned before, if you've been listening to the show, or if you're just joining me, I have now Dr. George Spercacci joining me in the studio. And as I also mentioned before, if you recognize that name, it's no coincidence. He is my father, but he's been on the past couple of times as I have filled in for Lee. And I welcome him once again to go through a status of the healthcare industry in the United States from his vast experience. He's been around for quite a while. I've known him all my life, without exaggeration. Please give a welcome to Dr. Spercacci. Thank you for joining us in the studio.
Thank you very much, Adam. Glad to be here.
Terrific. So let's start with, I think a lot of people know who you are and your background, but for those who don't, let's go through a little bit of it. So what is the background for you? Where'd you start and how's the road been?
The road has been very good. I started in the Bronx in 1933, actually in FDR's birthday, I spent my first 26 years in Manhattan and Brooklyn doing my training, part of that training, of course, was medical school, and after medical school was 8 more years of training in residency and fellowship, and then 2 years in the Army Medical Corps, where I served at the 97 General Hospital in Frankfurt, Germany. My wife and I and 2 children came and pioneered in New London. Excuse me. And we've been here in New London and practicing medicine ever since for 56 years and counting.
Very good. Fantastic. So 56 years practicing medicine. Obviously, you've seen a lot. You've seen a lot of change. When I was a kid, I remember going to the doctor and, you know, you go there, you leave, you never hear the word insurance, it seemed. So what's changed from the 1950s and 60s to now? I mean, before then you had a doctor-patient relationship where you walk in, you have the service, you pay your bill, you leave, and that's that. But now there's a whole lot more regulation and insurance. So can you walk us through what the difference is between then and now?
I'll be happy to. You know, once upon a time, there was a doctor and a patient, an actual relationship, often lifelong, fee-for-service or negotiations or barter or charity. Now there's an alphabet soup that began in the 60s and actually before that, with Medicare and Medicaid and private insurance. And then came the DRGs and the HSAs and the EMRs. As a matter of fact, I said even before, because in 1943, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt allowed the employers of the nation to offer health care. And that was picked up very well because the cost of the health care was tax deductible to the employer and tax free to the employee. So from then on, the employee patient didn't have to think about payment. You know, the money's no object. Give me the best there is. And that mindset, in my view, ruined the entire process. And it also provides the way out of this morass.
Now, why do you say ruined? Isn't that what all the Democratic presidential candidates are talking about doing now?
Of course, all the Democratic presidential candidates have done that right from the beginning. They do it not only in medicine, they do it in everything else. Money's no object. Ha-ha. And the one way to bring it back is to get the patient back into thinking about the cost and the need for their services. But we can go into that a little further.
Sure. So obviously that was a long time ago. You're talking about FDR. So since then, there's been a lot of federal and state regulation. So what federal and state regulation has come across in the decades that has interrupted the beneficial provision of healthcare?
Well, the first formal thing, other than as I mentioned in 43, was in 64 with the Medicare Act, Medicare and Medicaid. And that was, of course, embraced, and with some good reason, and it continues to the present time. Then starting in the 70s, the mid and later 70s, there was the development of health savings accounts. There were a variety of other insurance plans that came to be interposed between the physician and the patient. And that, as I say, is both the cause of our problems and the possible solution to our problems.
So you've mentioned HSAs a couple of times, health savings accounts, and I didn't realize that they began in the 70s. It only seems recently that they've actually taken hold. Why do you think it took so long?
Actually, they began in the 80s. Other insurance programs began before that. The problem with the health savings accounts is that they made sense. They still make sense. They worked against the interests of the private insurers and also of the federal legislators who were on the dole through lobbying, etc. And as a result, the health savings accounts were suppressed, literally suppressed, through the late 80s and 90s. They continued to be suppressed through the Medicare Act of 2002, which I'll get into. But the HSA, as I think your listeners know, is a method whereby both the employer and the employee contribute to an account, which then can be used for their health care services. That, as I say, works against the interests of the private insurance and has been literally in one way or another suppressed. So it never came to fruition, although it made a great deal of sense when it started, and it still makes a great deal of sense now.
But one of the things with HSAs is that they're typically high deductible, as I understand it. And with the cost of health insurance going up and up, it's difficult for people to keep up with it. They put more and more money away. What would you consider one of the biggest reasons for the cost of health care rising constantly over the years?
Well, you know, it used to be that the physicians were literally called the captains of the ship. That is the healthcare provision. They have become widgets in the system now. The healthcare system has been literally taken over by the suits. That is the business interests, and that goes from Wall Street to the hospital industry. What has occurred is that the degree of regulation that is now on top of us has resulted in many, many physicians no longer being able to run their own practices. And as a result, the vast number of majority of physicians now have left their private practice and become employees of whatever, whether it be companies or hospitals. And they are no longer able to be the protectors, literally the protectors of their patients. They are simply widgets in the system, and that is why. And the system, of course, is a cost plus system, which seeks profit.
Yeah, and one thing that you didn't mention, I thought you were going to mention when you said suit. I didn't realize you were referring to the garment that the individuals were wearing. I was thinking lawsuits.
No.
So one of the other issues, at least from my perspective, is that it is lawsuits. It is medical malpractice suits.
Oh, absolutely.
So you're an MD, but you're also a JD. Mm-hmm. So isn't this a conflict for you? I mean, where do you stand on the issue of medical malpractice and keeping healthcare safe for everyone?
Well, that includes a number of questions and answers. The situation we have now is out of control because the issue of medical medical malpractice suits has become an issue of you go to the doctor and you take a chance on the national lottery because anybody can bring a frivolous suit. And the legal profession is doing two things. It's protecting the patient public, and it's also serving its own interests. I would maintain that the current state of the medical malpractice situation is now out of control, and frivolous suits are very common for the purpose of getting whatever they can. The medical malpractice situation in the country has resulted in something else, a counteraction, which is called defensive medicine. That is, the physicians have to treat the patient and also have to realize what they have to have done to protect themselves 4 or 5 years later if a medical malpractice suit is brought. As a result, they will do certain tests, let's say, or procedures that otherwise might not have been necessary. Mm-hmm. And as a result, defensive medicine results in at least 25% of all healthcare costs. This is terrible. Mm. How do you get out of it? You change the medical malpractice program to a health court system similar to the bankruptcy court, where these are knowledgeable people who are evaluating the facts and where they provide judgment. Right. That is totally against what the legal profession wants.
Right, right. All right, very good. You are listening to Adam Spercacci filling in for Lee Elsie. My guest right now is my father, Dr. George Spercacci. We're talking healthcare. We're going to take a break, and in a few moments when we come back, we will be picking this topic up again. So stay tuned, and we will be right back. And we are back. I'm Adam Spercacci. I'm filling in for Lee Elsie here in the Lee Elsie Show. I'll be with you for the rest of the morning. This is 94.9 FM, News Now and Stimulating Talk. Thank you for joining us. My guest at the moment is Dr. George Spercacci. We're talking about healthcare. Don't have a lot of time left, so we're going to get right back to it. So we talked about all the things that are an issue with healthcare. Do patients have any say in any of this? Is there anything that they can do, or do they just sit back and hold on tight?
Well, they have nothing to hold on to. To give you an idea, their fearless leaders, through the Medicare Act of 2002, actually had a provision which prohibits the government from negotiating with pharmaceutical companies regarding drug prices, a great victory for lobbyists. So if you want to sit back and enjoy it, you're going to have continue of that. All the while, you know, insurers and the federal legislator agents, that is the legislators, were blocking the most effective break on health care costs through health savings account, bringing the patient back into the decision-making process. Everything since then has resulted in higher costs, less access, and often lesser quality, including the national lottery called medical malpractice. Physicians have been greatly marginalized in the process, thus preventing them from continuing as historic champions of the patients. Is there hope for patients? Yes. But these are the things you have to think about. First of all, get and stay healthy, something you're not doing now. Forget about Mr. Nice Guy. Be or have an advocate, someone who will rattle the cage and kick butt for you with hospitals and, quote, providers. Encourage physicians to return to private practice, fee-for-service practice, in which patients can negotiate while being willing to pay adequately for good services, attention, and access rendered. This is certainly not the case now, with physicians as victims of theft of services called adjustments of 50% of their reasonable fees and with no recourse. Insist on legislation that requires hospitals to post their charges to encourage patient shopping and to prevent balance billing.
That's a big one. That's one I personally came across. You know, I actually had to seek out who had a better rate. And for the same service, I found different places had different rates and some were better. So it's strange that people don't really pay attention to that.
Well, whether they pay attention or not, they are not effective because they have a great opponent, and that is the hospital and the medical industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you about it. So the medical industrial complex is going to include physicians and hospitals. So
the medical industrial
I'm guessing they don't typically agree with your positions?
It's not true. The medical industrial complex does not include any more physicians, because physicians have been totally marginalized by this process. They are now largely employees, and they take dictation from the rest, from the system. And dictation also means that they can take only 10 or 15 minutes, half of which is in front of the computer, and that they are encouraged to order tests, often the more expensive tests. So the physicians are not part of the industrial the health industrial complex. Now, what can you do? Support your local doctor. He or she would much rather spend time talking with you than staring into his ever more demanding computer or ordering more and more tests. Physicians are not experiencing burnout in this process, as you've heard about. They're experiencing moral outrage, and that is very bad.
But fewer are becoming doctors, and doctors are leaving the profession sooner. Is that not true?
It's not true, because there has been an increase in the number of physicians who are, there's a number of people who apply to medical school, but there are a lot of physicians who are leaving. It's not a uniform process, because many physicians, for a variety of reasons now, are staying longer in practice, as I am. I've mm-hmm. been a physician for 62 years and counting. But the point is, they have moral outrage because they're dealing with this system. They don't have control. They don't have much influence at all. It's going out of control.
Yeah. All right. So we got about 2 minutes left. What have we missed? Have we missed everything, or we hit it all? I'm sure we hit it all, right?
Well, we never hit it all. The one other thing that the patient can do, I mentioned quite a number of things, and I also would say demand change in medical malpractice national lottery to a health court system. Once again, as I said, get and stay healthy. Forget about Mr. Nice Guy. Encourage physicians to return to private practice and be prepared to pay them adequately for good service, for attention, for access, which they're not getting now. Insist on legislation regarding the posting their charges so that they can be part of the system. Support your local doctor. Or do nothing. Give up your health, your wealth, and your self-respect. Only the patient, not so patient public, has the power.
Right. All right. So where can people see more of you? How do they get in touch with you? Do you have a website or anything like that?
I have had a website for over 20 years. There's a great deal of information. And
what's the website?
The website is www.asma.drsprecace.com. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised as to how much you can learn about that. I welcome your attendance.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
It went by quick, as it always does.
Yep.
My guest here has been Dr. George Spercacci, my father, and I hope you enjoyed that history and status of the healthcare industry. Coming up, we've got Felix Reyes, who is the Economic Development Director of Economic Development for the City of New London. I am Adam Spercacci, filling in for Lee Elsie on 94.9 FM News Now and Stimulating Talk.
JJF, Montauk, New London, Norwich, 94.9 News Now, and Stimulating Talk.